Let's go ahead and humble our hearts and our minds to Almighty Father Yahweh. Almighty Father Yahweh, we come to you on this wonderful Sabbath day. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for all those blessings that you've given us throughout the week. We thank you for watching over us. We ask that you look out for those on the prayer list. There's many different and various requests, but we know that they're all special. You know that you take notice of your people. You take notice of the children. So we pray for each and every individual on that prayer list, including this assembly and other assemblies, the body of Messiah in general. We pray for the work, that you help us to further your work, that you help us to keep on striving, Almighty Father, to be better servants of yours and of Yahshua. And we thank you for your Son who came to deliver us, Almighty Yahweh. We need to take hold of those promises that both of you laid out for us. And we need to have that faith that Yahshua is looking for when he comes back, Almighty Father. So we ask that you strengthen us. Give us endurance, Almighty Father, to deal with these trials that we're going to undergo in the coming days, Almighty Father, and the ones we're going through right now. We pray that you be with your message, Almighty Father. Be with the messenger. Help us, O Yahweh, to comprehend the message you have for us. We thank you for the musicians also, for the hard work they put in, the songs that edify us, Almighty Father. We pray for those on the internet, Almighty Father, that they might get the benefit, you know, of looking at the sermons and also, you know, everything else that we have to offer, Almighty Father, the booklets and all kind of truth that you have laid out for us in your scriptures, Almighty Father. We thank you so much for this opportunity. Strengthen us again and be with us as we prepare for another Moedim, Almighty Father, in a couple of weeks. Be with those that are coming to travel here, and be with us all, Almighty Father. We thank you so much. We ask for peace in Jerusalem. We pray for the country's leaders and the leaders in your assembly, Almighty Father, and also forgive us for our sins and forgive our enemies. We ask all these things through your Son, Yahshua. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, well, hallelujah. Yahweh's blessings be upon you. I wanted to take some time to just read something here that might help you meditate a little bit. I think the last phrase goes along with some scriptures, and it'll go with this message. Once again, happy Sabbath to everyone here, to those online. It's a little gloomy outside, but it's still the Sabbath, so we have to keep the spirit of it. Hallelujah. It says here, 10 strong things have been created in the world. Rock is hard, but iron cleaves it. Iron is hard, but fire softens it. Fire is powerful, but water quenches it. Water is heavy, but the clouds bear it. The clouds are thick, but wind scatters them. Wind is strong, but a body resists it. The body is strong, but fear crushes it. Fear is powerful, but wine banishes it. Wine is strong, but sleep works it off. Death is stronger than all, yet love saves from death. As Peter and James said, love covers a multitude of sins, and it is because of Yahshua's love that, you know, we can have our sins completely removed, completely taken away. As we heard from a sermon last week, I have a scripture that I'll cover, taken from last week. There's only one sin that can't be forgiven, which is blasphemy against the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of Yahweh. We know that Yahshua did many miracles through the Spirit of Yahweh, so we're commanded not to blaspheme, because if you do, you won't be forgiven, not only in this generation, but in the next. So any other sins that we commit, they can be forgiven, so we have hope. So as it says here on the slide, work out your own salvation. There's a couple of brethren here. They work out. They lift weights. You know, it's good for the body. It doesn't benefit us anything spiritually, but it helps us. It helps us in discipline and also endurance. If you go real quick to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians, the book written to Philippi, chapter 2, verse 12. This is where I got inspiration for this sermon. Philippians 2:12. The Apostle Paul, he struggled in many ways with a lot of things that he did previous to coming, you know, coming into the body of Messiah. And he hindered a lot of people. He caused people to blaspheme. And later on, he felt bad for it. And later on, he had to suffer for many things he did. Philippians 2:12, and it reads there, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." If you have a copy of the RSB, whether it be the first or second edition, you go to the bottom of that page, and it gives you a definition of fear, phobos. It's like a phobia. You know, you have a phobia of being in a closet. You have a phobia of snakes. I don't like snakes. It says there to be put in fear, to alarm or fright. What do you think about those people in Boston when they seen those bombs going off? You think they were scared for their life? Of course they were. They didn't want to die. They didn't want anybody else around them to die. What about trembling, tremors, quaking with fear? Have we ever been quaking with fear? Maybe you were in an earthquake or a hurricane. Whatever it is that you have a fear of, you know, it plays, you know, on your psychological. And, you know, there's many people, they're going to be quaking with fear when Yahshua comes because they're not going to be ready. It says their believers are to do more than reverence Yahweh. They are to fear him, especially when they willfully transgress his commandments and bring dishonor to the blood of Messiah. So the Apostle Paul here, he's telling the brethren, he's telling us, these scriptures are for our admonition, for our encouragement, for our example. They're obeying even when he's not there. Were the apostles obedient when Yahshua wasn't there with them? Of course they were. That's why we have their books. These brothers edify us. They went through a lot, you know, to show us that we can achieve salvation, that we can be written in that book of life. Let's go real quick to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. If you want to follow along, Ezekiel chapter 18, and we'll read verse 26. Verse 26. These books also apply to us because there's many people out there, they're disappointed, they're upset with Yahweh because they think that life is not fair. Life didn't deal them, you know, a good hand. Like when you're playing cards, you know, you get upset when you have a bad hand, but you got to keep playing. It says there in Ezekiel 18, 26, "When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, he shall die." You keep on reading in verse 27. "And when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive." So what do we have here? If we make a conscious choice to obey Yahweh, Yahweh takes this into consideration. But if we disobey, he has to punish us. He has no choice. Did Yahweh punish people when they were righteous? No, he didn't. Did he punish Yahshua because he was righteous? Yahshua didn't get punished because he was righteous. Yahshua died because of our sins. So some of the decisions that we make, some of our actions, sometimes they affect others. Most of us are not taught to fear. Some folks are taught that Yahweh changed his mind about choosing Israel as a peculiar or special people. Many are of the belief that Yahweh has dumbed down his commandments and that we can now practice, I call it, a lazy boy religion. Except for those who were specifically told or listed in the word, we don't know for sure who will join Yahshua in the kingdom. Sometimes we get upset with people. We talk to them. We preach by example. And it seems that they don't listen. But we don't know if down the road, Yahweh will, you know, grant them repentance. So we also have to be patient with some people. And that's a hard lesson to learn. Yahweh has been patient for how long? How many people were there when Yahshua was on the scene and they chose, you know, not to believe in him? I mean, he did miracles. He said, if you don't believe me, believe the things that I'm doing. I'm doing them through Yahweh's power, through the Holy Spirit. This is the same thing that we say. If you don't believe us, read the scriptures. Look at them for yourself. Look at the examples that are there for you. Many examples. We're commanded to study so that we can be approved. We're commanded to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Go real quick to Psalm. I was reading this morning, Psalm chapter 2. It's interesting. You look up the words fear and trembling. You try to find them together in the same verse. In Psalms chapter 2, and you can read, we'll take verse 10 and then verse 11 and read them together. Psalms chapter 2, verse 10. It says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. It says, verse 11, serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Think about that. Rejoice with trembling. When Yahshua comes back, many people are going to be rejoicing. Why? Because they're going to hear that trumpet sound. Others, they're not going to be so happy because they're not going to be in the kingdom. Yahshua's going to, he's going to take vengeance. All those people that got killed for Yahweh's name, for his truth, all the suffering they had to go through, when Yahshua comes back, he's not going to be so happy. He's not going to be so nice. And so, of course, our hope is that we make it. We make it through. We have to try. That's all you can do. You're going to have many, many failures. Any professional will tell you. You don't know how many failures I had to make it to this level. That's how you become a professional, through many failures. We need to and we must act on our belief. You have to act. You say you believe something, you have to act. Many people out there, they're protesting. They believe in something. They go out there. They go in front of the White House. They protest. Why? Because they believe in something. Some of the stuff is not right that they believe in, but nonetheless, they go out there. Offerings don't get to Yahweh on their own, do they? When we say, oh, I want to offer something, you know, a musical offering, you know, does it just get done by itself? No, you have to come up here. You have to put in the practice. Over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Romans 12 and verse 11. It's very inspiring to know that the word of Yahweh is going across so many countries. And I think Brother Javon mentioned it earlier, but as soon as I walked in the door, I picked up my copy. Pick up your copy. History of the Sacred Name Movement. It's a very excellent DVD. It's going to teach us a lot. Pastor Sam Graham and Elder Allen and Elder Randy, they did a good job on that, so pick that up. It teaches us a lot about the history. Romans 12:11, it says, we beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. This is one of the least things that you can do on top of all the work that we have to do with a little bit of hands that we have. So you present your body as a living sacrifice. This is action. Yahweh's name is like a verb. It's an action. It's not where he just sits back and lets everybody, you know, just get into the kingdom without doing anything. You have to show him that you're worthy. Hallelujah. It says here, we're urged to present our living bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to Yahweh. Notice it says living body, not dead body, like a body without the spirit, a body that has no spirit. It can't do anything. The scriptures talk about folks that are in the grave. You know, you can't do anything. You can't praise Yahweh. You're not in heaven. You know, you can't undo some of the mistakes you made. If you didn't have faith, you can't all of a sudden have faith and make it to the kingdom. And so this is where when we get to the end of our days, we don't want to be regretting. We don't want to wait till the last minute. Oh, Yahshua will tell me everything when he comes. Okay, so how do you present your body a living sacrifice? Does it happen by itself? That's the question. Did the messengers in the first five books of the scriptures come down from heaven and take the animals from the people and give them to the priests? No, of course not. Remember, during the Levitical priesthood, the heads of the house had to bring the animals to the priests themselves. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 3. We'll get some examples here. Leviticus chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. Remember that Pentecost, you know, you give a voluntary offering. Voluntary offering. You give to Yahweh according as he has blessed you. It says in Leviticus 3, 1 and 2, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before Yahweh. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aharon the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. So who brings the offerings to the priest? The people do. Why do they do this? Well, you had different offerings, you know. You had a burnt offering, you know. You had a fellowship offering. You had a sin offering. You had a guilt or trespass offering. Different offerings. You brought them to the priest. They didn't come to your house and pick it up, say thank you, I'll take it back for you. No, you had to do it on your own. How about in Genesis 14? Let's go to Genesis 14. You might know this chapter. This is where Abraham met up with King Melchizedek. Abraham's family was kidnapped. So Genesis 14, verses 18 and 19. Genesis 14, 18 and 19. It says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High El. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High El, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High El, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him 10% of every single thing. Hallelujah. So what do we have here? We have Abram. He was here working out his own salvation. And he was cautious not to let the pagan king try to sidetrack him with riches. He tried to make a deal. He said, you know, just give me some of that and you take the goods. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let you say that you made me rich. So Abraham acted on his faith. He was told to obey. He obeyed Yahweh 120%. He went the extra mile. You can read in many instances, there's many things that you didn't have to do, but you did them anyway. You know, your conscience, you know, you sleep better when you go the extra mile. Over in Genesis 15:6, just a chapter over, Genesis 15:6, you can highlight this one. Especially if you really like the New Testament, you can highlight this one. Genesis 15:6, it reads, and he, Abram or Abraham, believed in Yahweh, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So why did Yahweh count that as righteousness? Because he did what Yahweh instructed him to do. He said, come out of your own land. Go to a land that I'm going to show you. You don't know where it's at, but I'm going to show it to you. Leave your family, your kindred, everything, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you this land. What did he do? Did he say, no, I'll just go some other time. I got other things to do. Working out salvation involves taking responsibility. You know this when you get counseled, when you get counseling for baptism. There's no going back. You can't go back. You can't undo your baptism. So just like working out the muscles means going to the gym or lifting weights at home, you get the idea. Whether you want to go to the gym or work out at home, you have to do something. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You want strength. You want endurance. Yahweh is going to give you trials to work out your strength and your endurance. It says be not unequally yoked with infidels. See, we're trying to work out our own salvation. When we hang out with infidels, a lot of their habits rub off on us. Actually, I mean, it's like, you know, you feel like a quenching. You feel like a weakness. You know, your faith is not the same as when you... You know, the scripture says, if we hang out with people that are wise, you become wise. So what's the opposite? Ezra chapter 10. Ezra chapter 10. People made mistakes, and we have them here in the book written down for us. Yahshua never made any mistakes. There was a purpose for that. Ezra 10 and verse 18. Yahshua did a lot of praying. Look at Yahshua's life, how much he prayed for hours at a time. He knew the suffering he was going to have to endure. Ezra chapter 10, verse 18. It says, and among the sons of the priests there were found that had taken strange wives, namely, of the sons of Yeshua, the son of Josadak, and his brethren Maaseiah and Eleazar and Jarib and Gedaliah, and they gave their hands that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock for the trespass. Okay, so what do we have here? Okay, making mistakes is part of being human. Making mistakes is part of being human. But what do we do when we make mistakes? Do we dwell on them and make more? Or do we say, I'm going to try harder not to commit the same errors? You play the scripture challenge or the other games that we play at the feast. You notice when you get something wrong, a scripture question, if it comes up the next time, chances are you won't get it wrong because you go and you get the answer to it. And you remember that. You usually remember those that, you know, that you get wrong. Same in life. If you make the same mistake over and over, it has to get to you at some point. You know, in some sports, the best team doesn't always win. And you know why? Because if they make errors, the other team can capitalize. That's why they say the game is not played on paper. The scriptures are written for us, but the game is not played on paper. The game is played in real life. It's not on Memorex. It's in real life, in color. And that's why some of our mistakes, they cost us the kingdom. We make mistakes. We're human, yes. What do when we make mistakes? That's the question. You drop a weight on your foot. What are you going to do next time? It's going to hurt, isn't it? Over in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Some people, they might not want to hear this because, you know, it involves doing something. And they were taught otherwise. They were taught that Yahshua does everything for you. You don't have to do anything. Well, I mean, you went to the waters and you got baptized. Even if you got baptized in Jesus Christ, you did something. You got baptized. Doesn't that tell you something? Right? You want to play sports? You signed up for the team? You did something. If you sign up, you want to play. Right? You don't sign up to be a bench warmer. That's not what you sign up for. Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Don't we have that going on right now? But see, there's going to be it's going to be payback. The rich rules now, but we're going to read over in James, real quick, in James. The rich does rule over the poor. That is a true statement. James chapter 2, verse 5. That's why there's a lot of things going on behind closed doors, and we don't know about it, because we're little people. James 2, verse 5. It says there, hearken, my beloved brethren, had not Elohim chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? So one verse tells us that the rich rules over us, but who does Yahweh choose? Does it say he chooses the rich? I mean, he chose some rich people. He chose Abraham. He was rich, but he saw what was in Abraham's heart. Zacchaeus had money, you know, But what did he do? He repented. He said, if I stole from anybody, I'll pay them back fourfold. I'm going to make right whatever I did wrong. So he saw what was in his heart. And think about if you see Yahshua and he tells you, you know what, today salvation is coming to your house. How would you feel? So the best team doesn't always win. Yahshua's team will win in the end because it's not worldly riches that interest Yahweh. See, some people have their heart in the wrong place. They think, oh, we have the biggest congregation in such a place. You know, we have the most attendees. Yahweh's not worried about that. How is the faith of those attendees? And what are they learning from those ministers that are teaching there? That's the question. The best team doesn't always win. We have to remember that. And I know that from being on the losing side many times. But hallelujah, see? Because, I mean, if you put your faith in Yahshua, you're on a winning team. You're on a winning team. Over in, if you're there in James, go over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. This is an excellent example. See, the Apostle Paul, he was excellent in that he followed Yahshua, where he'll speak to you in those things that you could refer to. Whatever you were doing, if you were a fisherman, he'll speak to you there. If you're a farmer, he'll speak to you there. If you're into sports and things like that, he'll speak to you in a way that you could understand it. 1 Corinthians 9. Let's start in verse 24 to get the context and read down to 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 down through 27. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I don't want to get to the finish line and say to myself, you know what, I wasted my time because I'm not in the group. What is the point of studying the word if you're not going to be, you know, in the kingdom? What is the point of preaching Yahweh's truth if I'm just going to be a castaway? That's what Paul is saying right there. And we say that to ourselves. You know, it's a tough job teaching Yahweh's people. It's the same thing as a musician. You get up here, you put in a lot of work. You want Yahweh to be edified. You want the brethren to be edified. You don't want the people to be disappointed. That's why you put in the work. Hallelujah. It's good also when you start young. It helps. By the time you come of age, you know, you're a confident person. You're confident in your abilities. And you give praise to Yahweh for that because he's the one doing that. Then you get baptized. And I mean, he just helps you even more. You do things that you didn't think you could do. Yahweh gets all the praise. Hallelujah. How many elders humbly accept the challenge of shepherding the flock just so they could be like one of the foolish virgins? I mean, come on. Why would you do that? Why would you shepherd the flock? In Hebrews it says, I mean, you take care of them with your life. You read Yahshua talking about the shepherd. He sleeps with the sheep to take care of them. Anything that comes, you know, try to harm the sheep, they give their life to take care of the sheep. Just like you take care of your children. You give your life for your children. Right? Those people out there that suffered in Boston. The EMTs that were there. You know, the cops and everybody that was there. Those people are there for what? To preserve life. They're there to assist you. You get hurt, you call them. Why? Because they know more than you how to take care, you know, of certain injuries. So why did Yahshua come? To preserve life. To save us from our sins, not save us in our sins. He gave us more than plenty examples to follow. More than plenty. He said, look at what I suffered. You're not even going to suffer maybe half what I suffered. And he wasn't even guilty. And we don't have to do anything, some people teach us. I just got an email the other day. It said they're right at the bottom. I mean, everything was good. You know, it's in Spanish, you know, so I can keep up with my Spanish. Everything was good. It's preaching Messiah and everything. But at the end, it says, you don't have to do anything because Yahshua did it all for you. You see, you just messed it up. There's the fly in the ointment when you say a comment like that. You wrote all of that and it sounded real good, and then, you know, your exclamation point just, you know, was worthless. Because if I compare it to the scriptures, I don't find that there. How about Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11. Think about Hebrews chapter 11. People were cut in half for what? Because they did nothing? Because Yahshua did everything for them? Think about the prophets, Jeremiah. Did he do nothing? Did Yahshua do everything for him? Yahweh told him, if you don't do what I tell you, you're going to pay a price. You're going to face the consequences. Isaiah, he was told, do such and such. He went, he did it. All the apostles, Yahshua chose them. He said, go out and do such and such. Do miracles, heal people. They had to do it. They did it. They did the work. They went through it. They served the people. That's what they did. That's what we do. We try to serve the people. They have questions. We try to get into the word and explain it the best we can to the best of our abilities. Hebrews 11. I will take verse 1 and 2 and then 39 and 40. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So how did the elders obtain a good report? They had a hope. They were hoping for this land. There was something that they were thinking, what is it? I don't know what it is. I don't know where it is. I have to fight for it. It says there, I believe in Peter, the prophets were questioning, you know, who is this Messiah that we're prophesying about? All the stuff they were doing, it says there, they did it for us. All those prophecies, they did it for who? They did it for Peter and for Paul. So that when Peter and Paul read that, when Yahshua came on the scene, they said, man, you know what? This brother right here matches those prophecies right there in Isaiah. Right there in Isaiah 53. That's him right here. He's doing all that work. John the Baptist, who was the one with the voice crying in the wilderness? Who was that? In Malachi, who was that? Oh, that's got to be this one here, John the Baptist. Why? Because he paved the way for Yahshua. He didn't sit at home. He did the work. So what's the pay for that? Peter said, we left everything and we followed you. What did Yahshua tell him? You're going to get 100-fold for your work. Hallelujah. How about verses 39 and 40? Verses 39 and 40. It says, and these all, talking about all the brethren there in Hebrews 11, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Elohim having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So did they cash in yet? No, not yet. Why? Because Yahweh has a plan. All those people that he called and all those that Yahshua has chosen, the work is not done yet. Yahshua hasn't come back yet. So think about it. We could be in that list right there. It says they have faith and they obtain a good report. And they obtain a good report through faith, but didn't receive the promise. But they know it was good. They know that Yahweh made that promise. And it's just amazing. All these brethren, think about it. If you're sitting at home and you have a vision from Yahweh, and maybe you have unbelief, you say, well, give me a second confirmation. Well, give me a third one. He gives it to you. Once he gives it to you, what are you going to do? The thing is, you have to verify. Is it from Yahweh? Verify his scriptures. Verify his word. So we believe in Messiah, Yahshua. Well, how can we be sure about this? Well, we can't prove it to you because you can't see him, because we haven't seen him, but it talks about it here in Hebrews 11. We hope for it, but we haven't seen it. But how many times have you been spared from death? Count it. How many times? Many times. Now, as we heard last week, there's some that they weren't spared. But see, they're going to get a chance. Some folks, you know, they didn't make it. They're going to have a chance. That's just... Abba is just that merciful. Abba is more merciful to our enemies than we could ever be. Things that people do to us, all these people that we see on the news that committed, you know, all these atrocities, it's up to Yahweh to be merciful to them. Now, Yahshua's job is to judge the flock. If you said that you were going to follow Yahshua, what that song says, to the end of my days, well then, he's going to judge you. It says it starts in the body of Messiah first. Yahshua has that privilege because he went through what we went through. So just like Deacon O'Neill had on his last slide, his last sermon, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. That's a song that we heard, and that's a true statement. Yahweh's going to be working on you until he takes your last breath. And Yahweh has a plan of salvation, but we have to get in line with it, not the other way around. Many people want Yahweh to get in line with their plan of salvation. They have it all mixed up. They have it backwards. They're not interpreting the scriptures the right way. They're not building line upon line. They're not starting in Genesis and finishing at Revelation. I mean, you copy and paste to make certain things easy, but you can't do that with a doctrine. You can't do that with Yahweh's truth. You only do that when you want to fool people. That's the only time you do that. Let's go to Isaiah 64. How about Isaiah 64? Isaiah's a prophetic book. Isaiah 66 talks about the kingdom there. The Sabbath, the new moons, the Moedim, they're there in the kingdom. Practice them now. Get a head start. Isaiah 64, verse 8. Isaiah 64, verse 8. It says, "But now, O Yahweh, thou art our Father. We are the clay and thou art the potter. We are the work of thy hand." So, are we soft and pliable, or are we hard that we can't work with? Are we too arrogant to work with other parts of the body? Or do we have an open mind? Are we compassionate towards those that are outside the faith? How do we approach Yahweh? Are we prideful? Are we soft? Are we, as children, teachable, pliable? It says, "People of the world cannot be molded to the image of Yahshua because they are like Nimrod. They are mighty hunters against the plans of Yahweh's salvation." If you go against Yahweh, you're not going to win. If you go against Yahshua, you're not going to win. That's the same thing Gamaliel was telling the Pharisees and Sadducees when they tried to muzzle the apostles. He says, look, if they're thinking these things up on their own, it's not going to flourish, just like those others. But now, if they're following Yahweh, you don't want to go against that. This is Gamaliel. You know, this was a respected individual. And, you know, it doesn't say there that he was messianic, that he believed in Yahshua, but, you know, he had common sense. It says, if you don't care, why should Yahweh? Honestly, ask yourself. If you say to yourself, I don't care, why should Yahweh? If somebody is trying to help you along, trying to encourage you to seek more truth, if you don't care, why should Yahweh? However, should you mend your ways, there is hope. Even if you're homeless, penniless, addicted to whatever is contrary to Yahweh, whatever addiction you have, Yahweh has shown us in his word that when a mighty pagan nation repents in sackcloth and ashes, they can be forgiven. Over in Jonah, let's go to the prophet Jonah. You know, that's a little cute kid story, but let's not forget that this is the sign that Yahshua gave when he came to certain individuals. You know, they wanted to test Yahweh. They wanted Yahshua to do certain miracles. He said, no, I'm only going to give you the sign, and it's found here in Jonah. 3 days and three nights. Jonah 3, and we'll take verse 5. Jonah 3, chapter 3, and we'll take verse 5. You want to know if Yahweh is compassionate towards our brethren outside of the faith? You want to know if Yahweh could be compassionate towards the United States of America? It says, so the people of Nineveh believed Elohim and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Keep on reading. Verse 6. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. So what did the king do? How about verse 10? Or verse 9, let's read 9 and 10. Who can tell if Elohim will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And Elohim saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and Elohim repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. If only this nation would take heed. Repent of your evil deeds. First things first, if you want to repent, you got to find out what it means. And then you got to find out what you have to repent of. This is the state that we're in. We don't even know right or wrong, because we're paying attention, you know, to, you know, people's philosophies. Oh, well, this man says it's okay, so I'll do it. What about what Yahweh and the scriptures say? If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. That's what it is. If he says it's unclean, it's unclean. Matthew 23, here we have a cry from Yahshua. Matthew 23, Yahshua's still crying out. Yahshua's still crying out. Matthew 23, he also says this in Luke. Yahshua, or Matthew 23 and 37 through 39. Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. It says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. You're not going to see him until you say that. This is to Jerusalem. What happened to Jerusalem? Why do they always get attacked? What happened to them? We read in the book of Daniel. What happened to them? He used Babylon to take them out of there. You don't want to keep my sabbaticals? Get out of there. And I'll let the land rest for 70 years so you guys can learn a lesson. You don't learn your lesson? Pay the consequences. Salvation, it was handed to Adam. What did they do? Salvation, right there in Revelation. What are we going to do? So when Yahshua cried that out, salvation appeared unto them. They didn't want it. Salvation is crying out to you. What are you going to do? Yahshua's still crying out. People are still rejecting the one who offers his redeeming blood to cleanse us from all our sins so that we can start a new life as if we had never sinned. Think about it. all the sins, mark them. Yahshua could take them away with his blood if you allow it, if you're willing. That leper told Yahshua, if you're willing, make me clean. He said, I'm willing. How many of them went back to do the offering? When the priest see this, wait a minute, you were a leper and you coming to me with an offering? How is it that you're cleansed? They tell him, Yahshua the Messiah cleansed me. That's the witness there. Yahshua working through the Father. His cleansing power is worth more than any rich man can afford. Bill Gates can't afford it. You can't pay for it. You don't have enough money. Compared to Yahweh, you're broke. You're hoarding all that money for what? It's not going to be worth anything. It says people are going to be throwing their money in the streets. It's not going to be worth anything. Salvation, that's where it's at. We have to work. Hallelujah. If Yahweh has blessed you, here's a challenge. If Yahweh has blessed you while you called on God, Lord Jesus, take him up on a challenge to seek him more earnestly. Call on the Messiah. Call on Yahshua. Call on Yahweh. See, when he blesses you, when you say to yourself, you know what, I received many miracles. I call on God, Lord Jesus. He's tugging at you. He's telling you, look at what I did for you when you were there. Now come up higher. When we're in the flesh, we're pitiful. But when we seek Yahweh through the set apart spirit, we can get on his level. That's how we understand the prophecies. How are you going to understand things in the flesh? It's through the spiritual that Yahweh speaks to us, because he's up there. That's why we can't see him. People say that Yahshua is Yahweh. Ask yourself this, when you read in the Torah. If Yahweh was to come in your midst, you wouldn't survive. So how is it that they're the same person? If Yahshua was Yahweh when he came on the scene, you would be toast. Separate the two. The spirit is the power behind the work. That's how they do things that we think are amazing, unbelievable. You can't do that. Yes, he could. He can make you clean. He can speak through a donkey. Why can't he cleanse your sins? Why is it so hard to call on Yahweh and Yahshua? Easily pronounceable. We use ABC. You can do that. You go to different countries, the name is the same. Your name is the same. I tell different people, what's your name? They tell me their name. I say, you know what your name is when you go to the Caribbean? The same. It's the same. I can speak in French. I can speak in Latin. Your name is the same. Yahweh and Yahshua are the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So the salvation message must be the same. Repent. Be baptized. That's the message. Be baptized in Yahshua. Yahweh's salvation. It says in Acts 4:12. But be warned. Make sure you count the cost. You don't want to start building that house and leave it halfway. People come by and say, look, you didn't have enough to finish it. That's the same way with salvation. Where our heart is, there's the treasure. Once we start, it's like driving a car. You're driving. Do you look back while you're driving? If you have it in drive, you better look forward, right? You can't do that. I have it in reverse. How far am I going to get? Just like Pastor Graham told us, once you put your hand on that plow, you know, you look that way, you know, I mean, you be like that, just like the curbs over here, you know. It said, if a righteous man departs from the faith, he will be punished. Has to be punished. There's no other way. You're not going to be blessed. On the other hand, if a wicked man repents, Better yet, if a wicked nation repents, Yahweh will honor true repentance. He's done it. You could read about it. You don't trust the scriptures? Look it up in the history books. It's there. Yahweh preserved that for a reason. Yahweh is not going to give us truth and then do away with it so that we're lost. Listen, society thinks that because certain individuals are literally given a license to sin, Yahweh is so loving that he embraces sin. Just because you're a Supreme Court judge, Yahweh doesn't care. If you give people a license to sin, you're going to answer for that. It said right there in Psalms chapter 2, didn't it? The people are warned. Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry whether they're rich or poor. I mean, sometimes, you know, we fear retaliation, but listen, judge righteous judgment. That's what it said right there in Deuteronomy 16. Set up the judges. Set them up and let them judge righteously. That's why he likes mature people, elders. They have experience. They've been through things. They have families. They raise children. They raise them the right way, as we heard. How did Yahweh raise Yahshua? How did he prepare him? I mean, he was going to come to this earth, be born of a woman. How did he prepare him? He was a humble servant, willing. He told Miriam, I'm only 12, but I have to be about my father's business. But I'm going to go ahead and be in subjection to you. He could have easily, you know, told her, you know what? I am who I am. You know, I don't need you. That's not what he said. He said, I'm still not of age. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to subject to my mom and my dad, even my earthly dad. That's what he did. Working out salvation, even though he didn't have to. Being baptized, even though he didn't have to. Suffering for our sins, even though he didn't have to. Going the extra mile. Calling people that were, well, you read about Paul, the things he did before he came into the faith. He called them. He said that, you know what, this is a chosen vessel of mine. He's going to speak to kings and governors and whoever on my behalf. Whether you like him or not, whether you believe in him or not, whether you trust him or not. So whether we like it or not, Yahweh is going to preach his truth. If it's not through us, through others. And salvation is the same in the Old and the New Testament. The people were baptized into Moses, it said. Why? Because they said, everything that you say, we will do. Why are they in Hebrews 11? Messiah wasn't on the scene, but they're there. Their name is there. It's in the book of life. So how was it that they attained salvation? They haven't received the promise yet, but they're there. They did what they had to do. They obeyed Yahweh. Maybe many times they didn't want to. Many times they were, I don't know if I can, I don't understand what he's telling me to do. I don't know why. Well, I have to do it because he told me to. That's what he said. Such a simple thing as take these animals and split them in half. Right? Another simple thing. You know, the angel came to the woman. She said, you know, I don't know who he was. So the man said, okay, man, I hope he comes again. He come again. They said, what do you want us to do? He said, don't eat anything unclean. Don't drink anything of the vine. No grapes, nothing like that. They did it. Very simple. Why? Because Yahweh had a plan with that individual. Samson. Let's go to Luke real quick. Luke 21. I mean, if we're not inspired by the happenings that are going on in the Word, I mean, what is it going to take? The word of Yahweh is going forth. He's doing wonderful works. We're not a big organization, and he's doing many things. People in other countries are hearing the word. Luke 21, verse 8. You see Yahshua doing a lot of things, and then you tell him, well, when is this going to happen? He says, I'm going to give you a clue. The first clue is Luke 21, 8, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. That's your first clue. You want to know about prophecy? There's your first clue. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Messiah, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. We've seen it. It's such a shame. The brother there in Florida, the guy walks around with how many bodyguards? People give him his life savings. He's a fraud. He's perpetrating a fraud, saying he's half man, half Messiah. Come on. First Corinthians 15:33. Let's back this up. We got two more. 1 Corinthians 15:33, talking about salvation, talking about how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. It's a beautiful picture. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What happens to us when we hang out with infidels? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Bad habits rub off on good people. How about Galatians 6, verse 7? Galatians 6, verse 7. You want to know how to work out your own salvation? Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Three times. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. So are you going to do the opposite? Like when Yahshua says, think not that I came to destroy Yahweh's Torah. Are you going to do the opposite and think that he came to destroy it? He told us, be not deceived. Over in 1 Corinthians 6, we read this last week. I want to close with this one. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. There's many, many examples of people working out their salvation. They did things to please Yahweh. They did something wrong. They made it right. They did something right. They praised Yahweh. They shared it with others so that others could rejoice that they were counted worthy. 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll read 9 through 11. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Here's that phrase again. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the sovereign Yahshua and by the Spirit of our Elohim. You get baptized, you're justified. You walk in the Torah, you're sanctified through the Spirit. You learn things. The Spirit is not something separate that you go separately and talk to the Spirit. Have a little meeting with the Spirit and it teaches you. That's Yahweh working through His Spirit because we can't see Him. So that's how He works. So it says there, if you're practicing these sins, you're not going to make it. I'm sorry. Whatever minister out there in whatever religion told you that you could practice these sins and you would make it into the kingdom, that's not right. He's not dividing the word rightly. He's leading you astray. Because it clearly says, be not deceived. None of these individuals practicing these sins, you're doing these things. If you were baptized into Jesus Christ and you're practicing those things, you're not going to make it. You're baptized into Yahshua and we practice these things, we're not going to make it. We're practicing sins, we're not going to make it. Bottom line. There's two scriptures. Sin, the transgression of Yahweh's Torah, and if you know to do what is right and you don't do it, that is sin also. Some people are not going to like those scriptures, especially the certain scriptures there in verse 9. They're not going to like that. Why? Because some judge or some politician gave them a license and said they could practice that. Actually, they're pretending. See, they're deceiving themselves. They're not even deceiving somebody else. They're deceiving themselves into thinking that they could practice abominations. Eating unclean food makes you filthy. Touching the carcass of an unclean animal makes you filthy. What about practicing those sins? It says all sin is outside the body, but when you touch some of those in verse 9, now you're sinning against Yahweh's temple. In other words, some of us were filthy and we took a shower. Better yet, we took on the death of the Messiah. We were sick and tired of being in bondage to sin, and we did something about it. We may have not repented in sackcloth and ashes, but we cried out to Yahweh, and he took notice that we wanted to renew our mind and be a new creation. Our filthy conscience is now clean, and we desire for the master potter to mold us. We urge you, therefore, by the mercies of Yahweh, to offer up your living body as a spiritual sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Yahweh. How about it? Working out is not easy physical exercise, or working out is not easy physical exercise. You know, it doesn't, when you work out, it doesn't profit you anything spiritually, okay? But we can use the motivation and the discipline. We need discipline. That's what the Apostle Paul did when he said he was running a race. I had to discipline myself. I had to follow a certain diet. I had to follow strict guidelines. When you do these physical things, they teach you spiritual lessons. You look at the failures of Israel. They teach you lessons. They teach you not to have a lack of faith like they did, not to grumble like they did in the wilderness. Israel was our lesson, 1 Corinthians 10. We should imitate all the good they did, and may every blessing of Yahshua be upon you. Hallelujah.